Well, today I want you to join me as we turn, let's turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. I want to start a new series today. I was promoting it and I kind of touched on it on Pentecost Sunday, how to be a spirit-filled church. But today I want to talk about fundamental things. I want to do a simple teaching on who the Holy Spirit is. Because there's a lot of misunderstanding, misconception about who the Holy Spirit is. I've heard people teach that it's the Holy Spirit is simply the force of God. I've heard other people say, well, there's a scripture about the Holy Spirit like a dove. And we use the symbol of a dove many times representing the Holy Spirit. But he's not a dove. Others say, well, the Holy Spirit was God, but the Holy Spirit just helped the church to get birth and to start the initial forward motion of the church going out and being launched and the kingdom going forward. And then he just kind of sit back and kind of like when we teach our kids to ride a bike, we give them a big push and then let them go. But what does the Bible say? Because we can hear all different kinds of ideas, all different kinds of theories about who the Holy Spirit. But church, we need to be like the Bereans and we need to know the Word of God. What does God's Word teach us? And so today, I want to do that. I want to do a simple foundational teaching on who the Holy Spirit is. Amen? So you with me? And we're going to start in Genesis. God shows us right from the beginning the Godhead or the Trinity. And so I want us to begin in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. I didn't turn there, but I'm about. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 is the verse that I want us to focus on. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Right from the beginning, God speaks of himself, refers to himself in the plural. Now we know that Scripture says that there's one God, right? The Lord our God is one. But yet here he's speaking in the plural. It's a reference to the Godhead, to what we call the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So we need to understand that there are three persons distinct working together with one purpose. And you ask me, Pastor, will explain the Trinity. No one can explain the Trinity. We can kind of give a general overview or an idea, but honestly, listen, church, the God that we serve is so far greater than what our finite minds can understand. We can never fully understand the greatness of our God. So we receive and accept the Trinity by faith because God's Word teaches that. Not just here in the beginning, but throughout God's Word. It teaches us about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so I want us to have a good grasp on this. In the New Testament, there's distinct identification between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth," that's God the Father, anointing Jesus the Son, "with the Holy Spirit and with power." Notice, it's separated. The Holy Spirit isn't the power. It's not just a force of God. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, but he comes and he gives us power and ability. Amen? That's why Jesus said in Acts 1 and 8, You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And speaking of power, I say this all the time. I like power. I don't like to drive cars that don't have any power. And somebody misunderstood that a few weeks ago when I said that, because I walked into my office and there appeared a radar detector on my desk. That was not the point I was trying to make. I try my best to adhere to the laws of the land. I may not drive 90, but I want a car that can go 90. I want that power available. So whoever that was, thank you, but I don't really need it, so you can get it back if you want it. Another example, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, we see the Trinity again. This is at the baptism of Jesus. When he had been baptized, that's Jesus, it said, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. The heavens were opened to him. In the original language, it means there was a rending, a tearing apart. In other words, the invisible realm was penetrating into the physical, visible realm. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. Notice it says, like a dove. It doesn't say that the Holy Spirit was a dove. But it was saying that in the gentle way that a dove would come and light, that the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus. In verse 17, it says, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So we see that there's a voice from heaven. God the Father is saying, this is my Son, speaking of Jesus, in whom I am well pleased. So we see Jesus the Son, the Spirit descending upon him, and the Father proclaiming his love, his pleasure in his Son. So we see many other verses that teach the Trinity. So there are three members of the Godhead. And the Holy Spirit, church, is a deity. He is God. So we can worship him. We can praise him. But I want us to get into some of the other things that teach us that he's not a force. I'm going to go through these very quickly. I don't know if Jesse can keep up with me or not, but he has a mind, the Bible says, in Romans chapter 8, verse 27. You may want to jot these down. He has a will, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. He has emotions such as love and joy, Romans chapter 15 and verse 30, and Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. He comforts in Acts chapter 9, verse 31. He speaks in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. He teaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. He can be made to feel sorrow, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. He can be insulted, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. He can be resisted, Acts chapter 7, verse 51. And he can be lied to, Acts chapter 5, verse 1 through 11, the story of Ananias and Sapphira. The Holy Spirit is a person, and he wants to be close to you. He wants that friendship. He wants you to know he's there for you, that he'll never leave you, he'll never forsake you, that just like Jesus, he'll guide you and direct you. He'll equip you, he'll teach you, he'll protect you, he'll empower you. And we need to grasp hold of that and say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. There's another verse that I want us to think about in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 and 7. Ephesians 3, verse 16 and 7. 17, excuse me. But let's start in verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. So there we have the Trinity again. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Now if somebody asks us from a time we were a young child, when we say our first prayer to become saved, to receive Jesus, people will lead us and say, just invite Jesus into your heart. And we see that scripture right there, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. But how does Christ, who is on the throne beside the Father interceding for us, how does Christ dwell in our hearts? Well, it's answered right before that. To be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. So it's actually the Holy Spirit. That's how Jesus is in our heart. Well, how's the Holy Spirit Jesus? Because they're a Trinity. So are you following me? So these are fundamental things that we need to understand. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 5. There are differences. This helps explain the differences in the roles of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. That's speaking of Jesus. There's difference of ministries. Now verse 6 says, and there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. So that's God the Father. Verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So there's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but they're working together as one to accomplish the same purpose. Now, I want to give you a little illustration. If you're building a house, the first thing you need is some plans, unless you're Bruce Cook. That's another story. Seriously, if you build a house, you have to have the diagram, how you're going to build it, what you're going to build, right? That's the role of God the Father. The second thing you need is a foreman. That's the role of Jesus. He administrates. The third thing, you need workers. You need builders. And that's the role of the Holy Spirit. And so they're working as one to accomplish one goal, just like an architect, a foreman, and the workers would come together and work to produce a home. And so that's what this verse is talking about. There's different roles, but it's each one is essential to bring out what needs to be accomplished, and they're working together. And now back in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. All of us love that verse. We know that verse. But who is it talking about that actually formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into the nostrils of Adam and Eve? It says God, but was it God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit? It was God the Holy Spirit. Let me show you. In Job chapter 33, verse 4, Scripture says, the Spirit of God has made me. Did you hear that? The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. So here, the Holy Spirit is the one who actually brought life, but he's also called the Almighty. But you think, the Almighty, that's the title of the Father. No, it's the title of God. So, think about that for just a moment. Not only did the Holy Spirit form Adam and breathe life into him, not only did the Holy Spirit form Job and bring life to him, that's the role, the creative role of the Holy Spirit. You were formed by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit breathed life into every one of us. You're not an accident. God wasn't confused when He created you. If He formed you, He didn't say, I'm going to form a male body and put a female in it. And I know that's controversial, but church, that's the scripture. And the church in this time can't give in to stuff that is ungodly and contrary to scripture. We have to stand on the word of God. We have to preach the word of God. We have to teach the word of God. When your little baby's born, they're either male or female, and you raise them and teach them that they're what sex they're born with. Amen? It's a spirit of confusion that has come upon people, or mental illness that causes this. And they need prayer. And we love them. We don't persecute them. We don't hate them. But we don't receive the perversion that our culture is trying to push on us. We speak the truth in love. Amen? You're special. Turn to somebody and tell them, you're a special creation of God. You're formed by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit breathed life into you. In fact, the Spirit of God formed everything that we see. In Proverbs chapter 26, verse 10, Scripture says, the great God who formed everything. That's the role of the Holy Spirit. The second point I want us to see today is the interaction between Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus is our example. Amen? Jesus, listen to this, He totally depended on the Holy Spirit to fulfill the plan that God had for Him on this earth. In John chapter 1, verse 29, the next day, John, this is John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, that's not the focus that I'm focusing on, but I can't pass that without saying, hallelujah. Jesus is the Lamb of God. He was slain. He shed His blood for the redemption of mankind if we receive it. Amen. It wasn't Hare Krishna. It wasn't any other prophet or any other person, religious person. It was Jesus who was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And every one of us is born in sin. Every one of us needs a Savior. And Jesus paid it all for us. That's a whole other message right there. Let's go on. Verse 30. This is He of whom I said, this is John speaking about Jesus, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water, and John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and He remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. John is making a declarative statement that Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit. We looked at this 2 weeks ago, the word baptizo in the Greek. It's a powerful word. They used it when they dyed garments, when garments would be placed in the dye and the color. Every thread of the garment would soak up the dye and be transformed. That's what the Holy Spirit desires to do in our lives. When we surrender everything to Him and say, Holy Spirit, fill me, empower me, every thread of my being. Verse 34, and I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Now, what I want us to know is the fact that Jesus never did a miracle prior to the passage we just read. He never did a miracle as a boy. There's fanciful little movies and stories about Jesus seeing dead birds fall out of the tree, and he picks them up and throws them in the air, and he heals them and they fly off. That is not scriptural. Jesus never did a miracle until he had the Holy Spirit descend upon him. Why? Because scripture says that he laid aside his power as God. When he walked this earth, he walked and lived as a man. And he's our example. Amen? If Jesus never did a miracle and he couldn't fulfill the call of God on his life until he was experiencing the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit coming upon him, why do we think we can? We can't. We can't ultimately fulfill everything that God wants us to fill outside of being equipped by the power of the Spirit. The first miracle that Jesus did, it's in Cana. It's recorded in John chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. I won't read the whole passage, but I want us to focus on verse 11. This beginning of signs. Everybody say beginning. That means this was the first one. This was Jesus' first miracle. But it also teaches us something else. The way that it's written there, this is the beginning, means not only was this Jesus' first miracle, but it meant there are going to be many other miracles that follow. Amen? And church, he's still a miracle worker. He still works miracles on this earth through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. He still does miracles today. Jesus said in John chapter 5, he said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself." Jesus says right there, "I can do nothing of myself." That should be our attitude, church. Every one of us should have that attitude. I pray that all the time. I said, "Lord, I can't build the church. Your word says you build it. But Lord, help me not to get in your way. Lord, I can't do anything. I can't touch hearts. I can't save people. I can't heal people. I can't minister to people except by the power of your presence in my heart and life." That needs to be our focus. We can do nothing, just like Jesus, except through the power of the Spirit. In John chapter 14, Jesus makes another statement. He says, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper." Another helper. Now that's important. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, and he's calling him the helper. First of all, I want us to notice the word "another." In the Greek, it's the word allos. The Greek word allos, which means, this is important, another of the same kind. There's another Greek word for another, but it means another of a different kind. This word means that Jesus is saying, the Father's going to send someone just like me. Just like me. Another word that Jesus uses in John 14 and verse 16 is the word "helper." In the Greek, it's parakletos. Everybody's probably heard that. But it comes from two root words. Para, which is a word that means very close. And the second is kaleo, which means to beckon or to call. So it's saying he's sending us a helper who has been called by God. This word was used of the apostles' calling. So it was a call from God. The other word, para, means to come close, and it was used, Paul used it when he talked about his relationship with Timothy. So there was the closest relationship. So Jesus is saying that the Holy Spirit has a calling from God the Father to come right next to you, to journey with you through life, to be there as your closest friend, Amen? To guide you, direct you, to lead you, to equip you, to empower you, to enable you to fill the call of God on your life. Are you thankful for that? His calling is an assignment. He instructs us, he directs us, he provides for us, he counsels us all through life. That's the calling of the Holy Spirit, to come close and never leave us and never forsake us. Finally, there's something else in the life of Jesus I want us to see pertaining to the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 16 and verse 7, Jesus makes a statement that's just hard to understand. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." Now, when you read that, you kind of stop and you say, why would Jesus say that? He's talking to the disciples. They'd been with him for over 3 years. They heard him, everything that he said. He never lied. He couldn't sin. He didn't sin. He lived a sinless, holy, pure life. Right? Everything that he had said came to pass. So why is he telling them, I'm going to tell you the truth? Because what he was about to say was going to be so difficult for them to comprehend. He was preparing them and saying, this is the truth, but it's going to be hard for you to understand it at first. Then listen to what he says. It is to your advantage that I go away. Now, if you were right there with Jesus and he says, it's better for you, it's the best for you that I leave, how many of us are going to understand that? No. They'd been right there with him for 3 years. They loved him. They'd gone through this death and resurrection, and they just wanted to be with him. Listen what else it says. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Did you hear that? If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. That's the Holy Spirit. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Now think about this. What if Jesus hadn't ascended into heaven? What if he had lived? He would still be alive. He would probably be in Jerusalem. But what if you wanted to ask him a question? Well, you'd probably have to get an expensive plane ticket. And when you arrived to Jerusalem, he'd be at the temple probably there, and you'd have to get in line. Guess how many other millions of people want to ask Jesus a question? Millions and millions and millions. So they'd have to limit the time that you could talk to Jesus. Say they limited it to about a minute. Every person had just a minute. That means every 24-hour period, it'd be about, 1,440 people could actually ask Jesus a question. It would take years for millions of people to get to speak to Jesus. And then you only had 60 seconds. What if you forgot something? What if you had another question? Then you'd have to get in line again. You'd have to wait for years. Does that sound like a good thing? No. He was trying to teach them how great the presence of the Holy Spirit is, because Christ in us is the hope of glory, and it's the person of the Holy Spirit. Jesus abides in our hearts and in our lives through the person of the Holy Spirit, and he is just like Jesus, and he is right there with us, and he equips us. You can talk to him. You don't have to come to church to talk to Jesus. You talk to him wherever you want to. About whatever. And guess what? You don't have just 60 seconds. You can talk to him 24 hours every day. He never sleeps. He doesn't have to stop and take a lunch break. And guess what? It's not just you, but it's everybody in the world. He's right there with them if they welcome him. They invite him. And he will lead them and guide them and direct them, equip them and empower them. Church, we need to recognize the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, what he wants to do through our lives, because we're nothing without him. Amen? In the eternal scheme of God's plan, you and I will never be able to fulfill what God has for us outside of total surrender to the Holy Spirit and letting him lead us and guide us and empower. So church, some of it is just routine for you. I know you've studied this, but there are others that have been in churches that have never studied this. So I want to lay a foundation. I want you to be equipped and to understand the importance of Jesus ascending and sending the Holy Spirit for us. Another verse, and I'm about through. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you are endued with power from on high. Endued. What does that word mean? In the original language, it means to be clothed with. And what are we clothed with? We're clothed with the Holy Spirit. But what does that have to do? What difference does that make? Well, we're clothed with an anointing. An anointing is the promise of God's presence and power to fulfill his purpose in us and through us. So we're endowed or clothed with the Holy Spirit. That anointing. What else? Here's another one of my favorite words besides power. It's authority. How many like to have authority? Now, I'm not talking about authority where we want to boss people around, because Jesus was a servant to all, and that's what we're called to be. Amen? But what I'm talking about in authority here, that we're endued or clothed with authority. Luke chapter 10 verse 19 said, behold, I give you authority, this is Jesus, to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's the authority that I'm talking about. It's authority against the enemy, against the devil and every power of hell. We have authority over all the power of the enemy. That's what Jesus just said there. That's the authority that we are clothed with. So when the enemy comes against us, we just don't, oh, don't do that. In the name of Jesus, I command you to take your hands off of what belongs to God. We come in the authority that Jesus has given us as his son and as his daughter. And we come against the enemy. Amen? If you resist the devil, he will flee from you. That's what Scripture says. It's authority to stand. And when we've done all to stand, we continue to stand. So I'm thankful for that authority. And finally, one more. We're clothed with ability. We mentioned it earlier, Acts 1 and 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses. It's a power to be a witness. Church, the world needs to see Jesus' power in his church. The world needs to see the power of Jesus in you. The reality that Jesus makes a difference in our lives. And so, I want you to just receive that. To be clothed in the anointing. To be clothed in the authority. To be clothed in the ability. So that you can fulfill your purpose. Just like Jesus did. Let's stand. Mitch, would you come? I did a lot of teaching this morning. A lot of foundational teaching. But I believe the church needs to know that in the times we're living in especially. Amen? We need to understand the Holy Spirit and how He wants to partner with us, how He wants to work in our lives and work through our lives. And that He's not just a force, that He's not a dove, that He's still here. He's that helper that comes alongside us, and He will enable us in these last days. Amen? In that last verse in Acts 1 and 8, where it talks about power, it's the word, Greek word dunamis, and it means to enable by divine ability, to be able by divine ability. In other words, we can't be the witness for Jesus without the Holy Spirit. We can't do it. How many continue to struggle in different things in your life? I'm not asking you to raise your hands. I'm just saying in general. We face things, and sometimes those things, we battle them, but they just keep coming. They keep holding on. They keep hindering us from what God wants to do. In church, the Holy Spirit is the one who empowers us to be totally free. Amen. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers us to pray for people and to see them healed. It's the Holy Spirit who works in our lives and enables us to be that witness that God's called us to be. Next Sunday is Father's Day, but I'm going to continue on this theme. And I'm going to challenge our men. I believe men, God created us, we like to be challenged. And I'm going to challenge not only the men, but I'm going to continue to talk about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit in our lives. So I want you to be here. And if that's not enough to get you here, I'm going to give all the men a cool aluminum flashlight. So bring a dad. Let's bow our heads together. I want the prayer team to take their place today. We can have some prayer team members in the front and some prayer team members in the back. But I want you to think about the scriptures that we've read. Have you totally surrendered to Jesus and the Holy Spirit in your life? Is He saturating every thread of your being? Are you able to face the onslaught around us in this world and stand strong and continue to stand? Or do you need to say, Lord, I just need a fresh infilling. I need a fresh touch from heaven. If you need a miracle today, our prayer team wants to pray for miracles for you. If you have a loved one that isn't living for Jesus, come and intercede for them. Church, we need to be praying for our lost family and friends. The signs of the times point to Jesus' return. And we need to reach out and pray and trust and evangelize, so that as many people that we can possibly bring with us will spend eternity in heaven. Father, I just thank You today for everyone that's here. Lord, I thank You, Lord, for the Trinity and God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And Lord, help us to understand. Lord, I know that we can never fully understand the greatness of our God. But Lord, help us to draw closer. Help us to, Lord, understand that Jesus is in our hearts. Jesus is with us through the person of the Holy Spirit. That You will empower us and equip us. That You will enable us, Lord, to fulfill the call on our lives. And Lord, we just ask it today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you're not sure where you stand with the Lord today, I invite you to come to one of our prayer team in the front or the back. Or if you need a healing, if you need a miracle today, if you have a loved one that doesn't know Jesus, whatever your need is, we're not going to take long. But Mitch is going to lead us in a chorus, and we would love to pray for you today. Mitch, go ahead.
Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to connecting with you next time. And don't forget, you can support us by giving through the Church Center app or by going online at summitwc.com/give.